I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Go Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute pamper session, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. I'll speak to people who remind us to take better care of ourselves and people who will motivate us and inspire positive change. This podcast is made possible by Sally Hansen, the creator of which was an inspirational woman who promoted the message of self-care all the way back in the 1930s. Whether it's a quick tan application or a cuticle oil top-up, Sally Hansen wants us to have the power to feel like our best selves. This week on the Good Glow podcast, I talk to Cassie Stokes. Over the last while, Cassie has openly spoken about the breakup of her relationship with her girlfriend Kathleen and how, just like me, when I got sick, she couldn't listen to music. Her honesty has been so refreshing and real that I couldn't wait to sit down to talk to her. Cassie also tells me how she practices gratitude and how time is ultimately the biggest healer. I hope you enjoy. Cassie, thank you so much for joining me on The Good Glow.
No problem at all. I was so excited when you got in contact. I was like, yes, I love that one. Not that I don't love the rest, but I especially love this one.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so special to have you here. I don't even know. I can't remember the first time we met each other, but like we're friends.
Years ago. Yeah. I was like, we're years ago. And also we're friends through friends. So yes. It's probably like, will I say like 15 years ago? Probably.
Oh my God. Tell us a little bit. Okay. Obviously we all know this Cassie that's on TV. You've got an amazing personality. You're drop dead gorgeous. I want to talk about growing up, and because I think for all of us, you got announced as the presenter of Exposé, and we're like, whoa, this girl's coming all the way home from Canada. And you just then we're here and part of everyday life. But tell us a little bit about growing up, because you've got an amazing relationship with your family. You speak about how much you love them.
I love them. Yeah.
So what was life like, and where did you grow up?
I know everyone's always so confused about that, because my accent still, I do still have a little bit of a, some people call it an American accent. It is half Canadian because I did grow up there, but I was born here. So I was born here, moved over there when I was 2.
Okay.
From what I remember, I was around 2, maybe 1.5. I literally spent my childhood over in Canada until I was about 11. Obviously grew up with my family, so that hence why we're still so close, which is great. I actually had, you know, a real outdoorsy childhood over in Canada. We were skiing on the weekends over there. That, I mean, if you were going skiing on the weekends over here, people would be like, oh, over there it's very normal to just go up skiing up to the cottages every weekend. Then during the summer you were doing loads of things. So I kind of grew up as a little tomboy. I mean, it was like myself, my sister, kind of, we didn't really get on when we were younger, because she was such a, I'm not going to say such a girl, because, you know, you can be into dolls if you want to be into dolls. She was into dolls and dresses. And I was like, oh, God, come on. What are we going to bond over? Because I was into cars and Ninja Turtles. And, you know, they never kind of crossed over in our playroom. Myself and my sister, obviously we were close because it was just the two of us. But we didn't get really close until I'd say about, maybe I was about 20 and she was 16. You know the way it is, mm-hmm. with your siblings. You're kind of like, they're grand.
They're here. They become sound in their 20s.
Yeah, exactly. They're here. There's absolutely nothing I can do about them being here. Mm-hmm. I was excited when I was a child. It was like, you're meeting your little sister. Amazing. She gave me Ninja Turtle slippers. Like, I liked her for a bit. And then we just became really close. I was in my 20s and we are inseparable. Last night, we try and see each other about 3 times a week if we can. She is a busy lawyer. I guess all lawyers are busy. They all seem to be very, very busy. If you're a lawyer, I feel very sorry for you, because you literally get no sleep. So we always do try and spend time together, like at least three times a week. So last night we went for rockets, just to have the chats, literally talk about nothing. I think we were talking about like dips, that, you know, the dips you can mm-hmm. get when you're in those places, like garlic dip and stuff like that. We were talking about dips for a good, I want to say 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of, I mean, you think that you're going to spend all this time and catch up and whatever. Oh, how's your boyfriend? All uh-huh. that kind of stuff. But it's really like, you know, I did try this dip yesterday and it was sincere and I needed to tell you about it.
Sometimes those conversations need to be had.
They do. And I feel like we're very passionate as Irish people about our dips. So myself and my sister, we are ridiculously close, as I am with a lot of my family. I've got a massive family, not close family. It's just myself and my sister and mine. And then my mum, my dad, but my cousins were really close. We were lucky to be in a family that just decided to all stay quite friendly with each other. I mean, that is a blessing, I know. My mum had seven sisters. They're a big family, and then two brothers. So they were all really close and they just kind of kept the family together, I guess. So my cousins, I mean, I would be as close with my cousins as some people would be with their sisters.
Yeah.
So I'm so blessed and so thrilled about that. And I mean, if you watch me on, or if you look at my Instagram, you will see that most of my time is spent with my family, which I mean, I kind of am obsessed with them. Like, I really am. Like, my mum, absolutely obsessed with. She is brilliant. I mean, she's the one that brought myself and Alex together at the end of the day. She introduced me to Alex, my sister. So I have her to thank for that. But yeah, like, we don't do wild, crazy things or anything together. We just do the sitting in the garden or sitting at home, chatting about dips that you put on your chips.
When you moved then, when you were 10 or 11, like, that's huge for an 11-year-old to move countries.
Yeah, now you think about it, when you meet 10 and 11-year-olds, I'm like, my cousin's kids. I'm like, oh, what? Wow, that's... And Alex was six. I was like, I'm sure Alex, could she even remember Toronto? Probably not. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely is. Now, when you look back, it was a huge thing. Then at the time, I was like, okay, where are we? Like, you know, this is just what's happening. But yeah, I'm like, again, I guess it just makes you who you are. I mean, I look back and I'm like, oh, that Toronto airport has, I've said this before, I just cry in that airport. I've said so many goodbyes in that airport. It's ridiculous. So, because when we moved back, my dad stayed and we moved back with my mum, and myself and my sister moved back with my mum over to here. So my dad stayed there for a good few years, and it was kind of like, because it was all exciting. I remember the lead up to it, and in school it was like, they're like, oh, and Cassandra's, they used to call me Cassandra.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And it was a French school, so they,
oh,
it was Cassandra.
Oh, wow. Cassie, that's amazing.
It sounds much better over there. It sounds much better in French. So it was like, she's moving to Ireland, and tell them about Ireland. And I was like, well, they have really nice chips, but they call them crisps over there. And you make crisp sandwiches with my grandma. That was literally the conversation I had. And all I knew was that also when you say $1,000, you say a grand over there. And they were like, oh. I'm like, what? And then it was just like one day, oh, okay, bye. And I was like, oh. And then we moved. I don't really remember much. I remember being over here. I remember wanting to move back a lot because, you know, all my friends were over there.
And was it more like the lifestyle you missed, like the outdoors?
I definitely did miss that. And, you know, playing rollerblade hockey on the street with like all your friends and stuff like that. I know you do do that over, like, there was lots of things going on here. I was just like, oh, everything's over there. And I mean, like, walking into a classroom in Ireland with the shiniest shoes that were like fresh from Canada. They were huge. And as one of my best friends describes, the backpack on my bag or on my back was, she was like, it was like three times the size of you, and it practically had tins hanging off. Like, it looked like it was like a massive camping bag. So try and be that kid coming into an Irish classroom. Like, even now I'd be like, good luck. Like,
but
so
you seem like very I'm sure you've got no problem making friends.
Well, with shoes that shiny and a bag that big, I mean, it was a little bit tough at the beginning, but I was like, well, like, there's no other way. I did actually obviously end up making friends, which was great. So that helped with school. And then, yeah, you know, you're a kid, you kind of just get on with it. I think would always, like, it was probably only maybe a month it took for me to kind of be like, oh, okay, this is actually fine. And it was really nice because I was, you know, we were living close to my grandma and granddad, and like, my granddad would pick me up from school and that kind of thing. So I had so much family over here, which I didn't really have in Toronto, because it was like just us. And so I really appreciated that. But then I'd go back and visit Toronto to see my dad. And he'd put me in like a tennis camp for 2 months, which now I get is very smart. But I'd be like, a tennis camp? Are you serious? I'm like, literally, we would play tennis from like 6 in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. What? Yeah, I couldn't play before I went. And then you came out of there like a Serena pro. Williams. Yeah, exactly. It was like you couldn't but be good because all you did, it was like, tennis is life. And I'd be like, Dad, do I have to go today? And he's like, yeah. Well, he had to go to work, so mm-hmm. it was fine. Now I get it, though. I'd be like, kids, tennis camp, great.
Off you
they
go.
Take you from 6 to 6. See you later. I mean, every time I went back, yeah, I did. That's when I started. I would miss it. You know, I'd mm-hmm. come back here and be like, it would just be unsettling, I guess. I'd be like, I want to move home. Or I want to move back to Toronto with Dad. My mum would be like, all right, off you go. Obviously, she didn't mean it. But yeah, but like, I am so thrilled. Now, when I look back, I'm really happy that I got to have my teenage years here mm-hmm. Because they were absolutely brilliant. And I think you learn loads over here as a teenager. Once you're responsible mm-hmm. Enough. And I mean, I like growing up here was the best decision when I look at it now that my mum ever made. The only thing is that I still have a little bit of my Canadian accent. So everyone's always like,
it's gorgeous though.
Where are you from? Like, no, nobody actually believes I'm fully from here. I am fully from here, but I just have a little bit of a twang. Yeah, it's there.
And when you were a teenager then, was it always kind of in the back of your mind that you wanted to go back to Toronto as an adult and kind of live independently there?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was always something I wanted to do. Just because I had a childhood there and I felt like I was connected there. So I guess it would have been like if I'd stayed in Toronto, would I have wanted to come back to Ireland? Probably, because I have a connection here. So then when I was 25, I was like, okay, no. This is what I want to do. I want to go to Toronto. I have my passport. So, you know, it's kind of safe. You're not just there on a visa. It just made sense for me.
And how was your mum when you told her you were going?
I think she was like, happy, you know, as well. In fairness, you're 25, still living at home. It's just like most parents are kind of like, yes, okay, no matter where you're going. Exactly. It's like, literally, they'd be so thrilled. I think she always did know that I wanted to go back. And we talked about it for like around a year. And I was going, because I did study improv in the second city in Chicago. So I had done that for like I took 6 weeks off work once to do that. And there was a second city in Toronto. So I was like, I want to go over there to kind of like do more improv and stuff like that. She was really encouraging. I mean, it was really sad to leave. Why do I keep doing this to myself? I'm going to like just stay in one country from now on, I think.
And you had a job in TV3 where people like, you're mad leaving that, like, you know, a solid TV job.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, people were. And because also it was like peak recession time. So, a lot of people didn't have jobs, and I of course was so grateful I had a job, but I just didn't want it to limit me, you know. I was like, but I still want it. All my friends are moving to London and New York and Australia, everyone was going, and I was like, just because I have a job, does that really mean like that I have to stay? Like, no, you know, because I knew that I wasn't completely happy here. I was always looking for something more. So then I just kind of, I went, oh, well, that's it. And as soon as you kind of make that decision, so like random things kind of kept popping up, like an opportunity came up in another like place. And I was like, it just makes you really question the decision you've made. I was like, I'm moving to Canada. And then it was like, but there's this here if you want to take this. And I was like, no, I don't want any. I didn't want to listen to anymore. I was just like, going to Canada. Let's see how it goes. And went there and thought that I'd get into a TV station over there relatively quickly because I was coming with a lot of experience. You have to start from the beginning. I did not realize that. So it's a lot of groundwork. I remember tons and tons of interviews, kind of leaving them going, definitely got this. But you forget that in a company or, you know, friends of friends, connections, they already have someone in mind and they're kind of just interviewing you just to interview you. You get that now when you're older, you know, because it's like, that's kind of, not that it's always the way things work, but in some industries is the way things work. And also these people are just as qualified, if not a little bit more qualified, and they know them, so whatever. So I worked in a restaurant in an Irish pub And because I was like, okay, actually, do you need some money now? Now I need to start actually working and kind of living. And it was the best decision I could have made. It like, it almost like grounded me. I learned how to properly talk to people. Mm-hmm. Even though I knew how to talk to people, I was like, I'm learning how to talk to random people and, you know, selling this story of, you know, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to make it home for Christmas, because they're like, oh. So when are you going back to Ireland? And you'd be like, well, I'm hoping to go at Christmas, but, you know, just got to save. And they're like, tips.
Wow, you were working
but
it.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone was working it in there. It was great. But you just learned, you know, a kind of a new form of communication. And yeah. Also learned a lot about the service industry. I didn't, you know, I knew I had worked in a pub for briefly when I was like 19. But this, I really learned loads about, like, I mean, sure, you know it yourself. Every time you go for food in a restaurant, the way people interact and the way you treat your server and the way the server treats you. I mean, it should be top class. It should be like the nicest situation ever, but sometimes it isn't. So I learned all of that from there. And I'm like, I'm the best tipper in Ireland, I think. I still tip 20% if it's really good, because I mean, it's such a difficult industry and servers have to deal with so much.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason.
Because I worked in a restaurant for 8 years here, all through the end of school and college. And not only do you have to deal with the customers, you have to deal with the chefs, and they are like,
they
so cranky.
Baguettes at you. I had a baguette thrown at my head, which is totally fine. Like, that is totally fine. I won't name the chef, but I mean, it's like, every chef, they're really passionate and they're busy and they have to get all this. And they are also dealing with so much in there. So when you go in there and you have somehow messed up an order or done something like that, and you're like, or the person you're serving has complained to you about something, going in there is like, I'd rather just pay for your meal. There is not, I don't even want to go in there to tell him that you don't like this part of it, because he's literally going to flip the plate in the air and then throw a baguette at my head. And then I'm going to still be like, so are you going to, is you going to get something else? So, yeah. So I loved going over there and working in the restaurant / pub. It was great fun and I learned so much.
And where did you live there?
I lived with my aunt just for a little bit when I first arrived, because my aunt was over there. And then I lived pretty much right, well, downtown, let's say, like the maybe the Ranelagh of or the Stony Batter of Toronto. And it was, yeah, it was really cool. Like, everyone cycled and everyone was really hip and stuff. Like, I did not fit in. Like, I was like, oh, will I get a bike? I don't even know. I don't even think I could actually. I was terrified of cycling bikes on the road. So I was like, no, I'll just be the one in the neighborhood that walks and has all like biker friends. And yeah, absolutely loved it. And actually, who was I living with? Two Cork guys who are still good friends of mine, and they were just the most lovely guys ever. I taught them what an avocado was. They didn't have a clue what an avocado was. So the one time when they were going down to the shop, they were like, Cass, do you want anything? And I was like, actually, yeah, an avocado. And he didn't say anything, so he kept it to himself. And he arrived home and he was like, here you go, with this rock hard avocado. And I was like, amazing. And he was like, well, to be honest, I didn't know what it was, so I had to ask the man in the shop. And this, and then he just said, pick them. And I thought the squishy ones wouldn't be good. And I was like,
oh, God.
That's totally cool. I was like, that's fine. And I probably had an hour to eat that avocado after like 3 weeks of it sitting there. You know the way it's like, yeah, like completely hard and then soft and dead. So I got to live with them and they were hilarious and such nice guys. And like, just, I still meet up with one of them because the other one is in Toronto. I still meet up with one of them and just one of the most lovely guys I've ever met.
And this was a huge, I suppose, transition in your life, because it was around this time when you were 25 that you came out.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I guess I realised that men didn't know what an avocado was and I needed to be with women. No. I mean, this was kind of, I guess, a time where I was in Toronto. I was in a place I didn't really know myself in Toronto, if you know what I mean. Like, I knew who I was in Ireland, and because I was kind of surrounded by, not people telling me who I was, but you're just kind of this person. You're, yeah, no, that's who you are.
Yeah.
And then I guess that, but for some people, that's exactly who you are. Do you know what I mean? But for me, I always thought there was something missing. And that's why I wanted to go to Toronto. There was just something missing. And then I realized it was actually because I was gay. I was, and I only realized when I went to Toronto and I was away from all my friends. I was away from my family, and I kind of, I guess, the opportunity presented itself, and I was like, This is actually okay. I'm not totally against this, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was a very, it was a really interesting time. I mean, I was probably the most awkward, like, lesbian in the world. Well, I was bi at the beginning. Like, I was just like, okay, I think this is, from reading online, this is where I'm going to go. I think it's the safe plan. You just tell people you're bi.
You decided to tell people you were bi because that was just easier.
Yeah, I was okay. Like, oh, well, yeah, exactly. Because it was always like, she's bi. Then she'll go back to guys. And I, for, I guess, if anybody had a problem with it, they would just go, oh, well, she's going back to guys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I, for me, that was definitely not that I like taking an easier route, but when it comes to that it was, yeah, this is easier. And also I was like, do I still like guys? Maybe I'd been with them. So like, maybe I do. And when you read up, like you read up a lot, when, if you're about to come out, you read up a lot online. There's horror stories. Maybe you shouldn't read too much. But it's literally like, your family will talk to you or they won't talk to you ever again. And you're like, amazing. I'm so glad I'm going in here with those odds. But yeah, so I was bi. And that's what I told people. And then I quickly realized, I was like, I'm not bi. Like, this is quite obvious. I'm not, to me. So then, I mean, I did, like, at the beginning, I did come out as bi, even when I came back to Ireland. And I was just like, yeah, but, you know, like, I would still be with guys too. And knowing that, I was like, no, I'm pretty sure that I don't, like, want to. I think mm-hmm. men are brilliant and they're so great. And I know so many amazing ones. But I was like, it's just not for me. Mm. So then I came around to it and I was like, yeah, no, I'm just going to have to actually tell people that, no, I'm actually gay.
And can you remember the first person you told?
That I was, who was the first person I told? I think it was this guy that I used to hang out with in Toronto, and his name was Aaron O'Brien, and he's a really successful celebrity hairdresser in Toronto now. And the two of us used to go to Church Street, which is the gay street in Toronto. So I was like, you know, would hang out with him. I was obviously like, yeah, let's go to gay clubs. Cool. I'm totally cool with that as a straight woman. And then when I like came around and told him, he was like, oh yeah, I knew. And I was like, what? And he was just like, yeah, like, you always wanted to go to the, like, Church Street. That's all you wanted to do. You were like, let's just get drunk and go to Church Street. And I was like, what? I just thought you were like my gay best friend and I was straight and totally, it was totally cool. And he was like, no, like, I definitely knew in a great way. And I was like, okay, cool. So what do I do now? And he was like, oh, okay, well, and then he would like, I think everyone that came into his salon and he did their hair, he was like, you gay? Like, to women. Literally, he was like, because, like, and it was probably 50% word. So he'd be like, Cass, if you want to go out after work, we can meet up with this person that I met. And I'm like, Aaron, stop it. I remember being like, oh my God. He literally, like, I did it once. And I was like, this is the most awkward thing ever, because Aaron's there he was literally like a mum or a dad, like tapping my leg, being like, so what do you think of her? And I was like, oh my God, like, she's dying, I'm dying. And then he'd just be like, okay, I gotta go home now.
Oh,
God. Oh, my God. So I only did that once or twice. And yeah, so he was the first person I actually came out to. Over here, it was one of my friends. Then she told me about another one of our friends who had just come out. And I just like talked to her about everything. I was like, what do I do now?
And your family were obviously so supportive.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm sure it was like a little bit of, not a shock, but, you know, I mean, like, my sister, totally cool. My mom was, you know, I think she was just a little bit shocked, which mm-hmm. is totally understandable. And this is, I think, something that should be something that people talk about more, in that, like, think of your mom and your dad, and they have all these dreams and hopes for you. And their generation had dreams and hopes for you, where they saw you with, as a woman, they saw you with a man. And as a man, they saw you with a woman. Our generation is a bit different. Like, I know that my cousins with their kids, they're like, I mean, pink to make the boys wink or the girls wink or, you know, whatever you're into. That's what we are. Our hopes and dreams, it doesn't matter on our kids' like sexuality. And it's, you know, it's like that for most people. Our parents, they came from a different generation, so they had a different vision. So it was like, it was a little bit hard for my mom to take just a little at the beginning, but just because she was like, oh, she's not going to have kids. I think that's the thing that a lot of mums think. They just think you're not going to get married and have kids.
Because I had Riyad, I don't know if you know Riyad, on the podcast, and he's spoken about when he came out, he had all this time to get his head around it and process it. And then you tell your parents, I'm gay. And if their reaction
is bad. They're the bad ones, but they're not.
But they've had 1 second to process
it. Yes, exactly.
Which I thought was such an amazing point.
Yeah, and it is. And I think it's something we don't think about enough. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's exactly it. So any time when people do reach out and they've said, like, my parents aren't accepting and blah, blah, and they're this kind of thing. And I'm like, you know what? You have to understand. You have to be understanding when it comes to it. Like, give them time. You know, they still absolutely adore you no matter what. They do adore you. They're just trying to change what they had in mind for you, which can be very difficult because they wanted the absolute best for you. They're also from a generation where there would be, you know, homophobia, you know, so they the last thing they want for you is someone calling you a lesbian, calling you a dyke, do you know? So like there's all those thoughts going through their head and you're their child. And so I think that is an amazing point. Like, yes, you can't just give them a minute to get over it and think of where they're coming from, because that is way greater than what we've ever had to really deal with in our generation. We're kind of very open. I mean, maybe not even our generation, the generation below us are even like, they just don't even associate anything with any gender. They're brilliant. But it's just an understanding. And I would say that to anybody who is coming out or anyone who has come out, and because there's still people who wouldn't really talk to their families and things like that. And I know there are some circumstances where, you know, you can't really be that understanding because it'll take over your life and you need to kind of move forward. But you can't just give them like a day, you know what I mean? And be like, exactly, like what Riyad said, I'm gay, deal with it. You know, I'm here, I'm happy, and be careful, because if you don't deal with this, it's not going to be good. People have to get their heads around it, and especially when it comes to our parents and grandparents.
And you met Kathleen then in Toronto, and you guys moved back. Well, you moved back ahead of her, and then she followed you over.
Yeah, so we had met. We met actually Pride 6 years ago in Toronto, and moved in very quickly afterwards because what lesbians do, so that's what I learned. Which I'll be very careful of that now the next time, until it happens, and then I'm like, do you want to move in? So we moved in, lived in Toronto for about three years together, two and a half, three years, had a puppy, got everything, had a lovely life. I just always knew I wanted to move back to Ireland. I missed my family a lot, and my sister had come to visit, and I just found it really upsetting when she left, and I was like, oh, there's no point. What is the point of life if you don't have your family? Mm-hmm. I adore them. And especially because of so many, I'm like, oh, they're just brilliant. So I just always knew I wanted to come back. So I moved to London. We were supposed to move together. And then I got there and we kind of like almost drifted apart a little bit. And so then we broke up for about a year. And we started talking like probably, let's say, halfway through the year, just to, like, because we didn't talk at all at the beginning. And then we started talking again and blah, blah, blah. And then after almost a year, we kind of went, will we give this a try? Will we try this again? Let's do it. And I am all for, like, if there's something still there, giving it a go. Like, you literally only live once, you know, and who cares? Like, I don't care about my pride when it comes to that kind of stuff. I'm like, whatever. I put it all out there. I was like, do you want to come over? Do you want to try this again? Let's just do it. Like, I don't care what happened before. I don't care what happened when we were broken up. And it was great. I'm like, Kathleen would be very proud. So she did take a step back and go, okay, let's do this. And I will cherish that forever. And I'm so thrilled she did. And I know it was huge for her, which it is. Think about it, moving country for someone. Absolutely
enormous.
Absolutely huge. And I will appreciate it forever. And I'm so grateful she did do that, because we did give it a go. We gave it a proper go, which is amazing. And unfortunately, it didn't work. But like, that's just the way life is.
Yeah. And you've been so open in discussing your breakup, and, you know, you do all these amazing Instagram videos from your car and you're like, I'm crying my eyelashes off. And it's just that realness that I think people respect. And that's what people love about you, is that there's no bullshit.
Well, I'm kind of like, you know what? I mean, I'm not going to show you how much I cry. I'll show you cry the odd time, just sometimes, because if it, you know, the way it just happens, you're like, oh, well, whatever. And if that's a release, sometimes, like for some people, telling people on Instagram is not a release for them. It would actually make them feel worse about crying, or I don't know. But for me, it's not empowering, but it just makes me feel normal. And I'm like, well, yeah, I cry my eyelashes off. This is just the way it is. But this is life. You know what I mean? Like, I dry them in the car. Like, I cry them off. I dry them on the little heater things. And I put them back on. Now, yesterday, I seem to do these podcasts when I'm on my period. So I'm always like, very emotional. Yesterday, there was so many cockapoos, those dogs, the cocker spaniel / poodles, the dog that we had, myself and Kathleen. And he's gone back with Kathleen. So I saw loads of those, and sometimes it just hits me. There was about 20 of them I saw yesterday, and I just burst into tears, and I was like, I could not like stop. And I was like, I still had to go to this shoot. And I was like, I'm just 5 minutes away. Parking is really, really bad over here. They're like, it's not really. Like, it wasn't in a busy area at all. And I was like, just, yeah, okay, bye. And then when your eyelashes, you're like, oh, feck, my eyelashes are off again. So you pull them off, dry them, put the glue out, put them back on once you stop crying. And then you go, okay, let's do this. And then you go on TV. But I mean, it's a really nice reality check for me, in that I do see how far I've come. I'm like not crying every single day, mm-hmm. which is lovely. Like the last time I cried was probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, but you know, or maybe two. Okay, maybe in between there a little bit, but it's because they had no dip and no garlic dip. For me, it's just about be normal, be natural. And like, people cry, and the amount of people that relate to those ones is unbelievable on Instagram.
Are you the type of person that in times of crisis, do you lock yourself away alone, or are you good at reaching out and surrounding yourself with people?
No, I would. I keep it all to myself. Mm. But then I surround myself with people and pretend everything's okay. But actually, when I went through this, I couldn't actually keep it to myself. I just couldn't. Like, you would literally see me, and I was like, "Hi," and then just burst into tears. I just was not even. I didn't even think I had the energy to cry at some stages. I was like, not a human. I was like, it was unbelievable. So I do go to counselling, and I have been going to counselling for years, and that has helped, in that I do now reach out to my best friends and say, like, I'm having a really shit day. Can I say shit?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I'm having a really crap day, or a really tough day. And obviously, I don't tell everybody in the world, but. Well, I guess maybe if I'm crying my eyelashes on Instagram and posting about it, I guess I do. But I try my best to reach out now. But I'm always for, okay, just like smile and laugh and try and get on with it. And like, this isn't the worst situation in the world. People mm-hmm. are going, I always think that. So I don't know if that, like, because as someone, actually, Deirin actually said it to me, and she was like, you know what? Because I was like, it's not the end of the world. Like, I know there's so many other people going through so many worse things than me. But she was like, yeah, but this is really hard for you. This is really hard for you. It's for everyone. Things that are hard are different, you know? Mm. So you can accept that this is really sad and really tough for you. And I was like, actually, that's a good point, because I always go, I know it's not the worst, you know.
Yeah, she's
I know
that amazing at that.
Like, I was like, and that is clever. And I think people do have to remember that, because whether it's you not being able to get, or you getting clamped in a day, and that's the worst thing that could happen to you, and you want to believe that that's the worst thing, fine. Because if that for you is the worst thing, that's okay. But then there could be other situations, you know, like, I don't know, yeah, someone having a family member that's about to pass away. Like, it really is relative.
Because people say to me all the time, oh, like, it's nothing like what you went through because you had cancer. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but I still respect, like, your problems. Exactly.
Like, you're not going to be like, oh, really? You're upset? Okay, your dog died? Well, I have cancer. Like, yeah, exactly.
And Darren always said that, like, because I always say, oh, you know, it's great. Like, I can't really complain. Like, I survived, and there's people that don't. And she's like, I know, but.
The thing that people need to take on board a little bit, because it's like, oh, if it is sad for you, you should have time to process it and be upset. And then that's how you move on. You can't, like, as much as I do go, it is not the worst situation ever. I am processing it and I am moving forward and realizing that it was a little bit of a crap situation.
And did you take time, or were you mindful to look after yourself during that time a little bit more?
Yes, definitely. I mean, I had just chilled as much as I could. Didn't really go to the gym. I was like, I just couldn't stress myself to do that. I couldn't even eat, but I tried to eat as much as I could. It was like a soup a day, I think. Then just, yeah, chill time. I think that's like listening to my body and going for walks. That was like my savior, was going for walks. And also being mindful of things that really didn't make me feel nice, like listening to music. Like, I could not listen to music. And I was like, oh my God, like, I just kept trying to listen to music because I was like, no, I won't let this take over my life, like, and take away music from me because I absolutely love it. And then I was like, maybe you should. Like, yeah, just for a little bit.
You're the first person that I've come across that said it, but I didn't listen to music for 2 years when I was sick. Because, and it's not like I couldn't just listen to Lyric FM with the slow songs. I couldn't listen to like an Ed Sheeran song one of my Spice Girls songs.
Anything.
Because it would remind me of times when I was okay.
Yeah.
And it
That's
brought back
so
good
tough.
Memories too.
It's not about like sad memories or anything like that. It's about, like, especially in that situation, it's like happy memories, and all you're thinking of then is the worst thing ever, which is unbelievable that music can do that to you. And like you said, any type of music, doesn't matter. Like
that, I was listening to Dara Quilty played this, you know, that Elbow song.
Yes.
So I was in the car and I knew I was getting better because I was driving Pia home. It was like dark. It was like 5:30 in the winter. And that song came on and I immediately just reached down to turn it off.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, maybe I can listen to it. Like, maybe I can. And Pia was, I don't know what she was doing. I think she was watching something on my phone.
Yeah.
And I turned it up and I was like, okay, I'm just going to see how I get on.
That's
and
amazing.
I felt nothing but like happiness in my heart. And I was like, oh my God, like, I'm okay.
That's incredible, isn't it? But it's such, like, thinking about having to go through that and not liking music for so long, it's such a nice reflection when you do like it again. You're like,
and do you like it again?
I do like it again. Yeah, all I do is listen to music now. I'm back on everything. I'm I'm thrilled about it. It's really good. I had to ease my way back in. But yeah. And I mean, it was a great way to listen to all the podcasts in the world because I was like, I can listen to people talking. You know, that was fine. But I'm listening to music again, which is quite
nice. I think it's something that people maybe don't even realize, because when I said it on Instagram, people were like, oh my God, that's happened to me. But I didn't really kind of even notice that had happened, that I was turning off the radio or I was putting on News Talk.
Yeah.
I suppose when you say something out loud, you realize that how many people that affects on a daily basis.
I know.
That are doing the same thing.
I know, exactly. I want to listen. I would love to look at the stats for News Talk's listeners. Are most of them going through a breakup? No offense to News Talk. I love it. It's great and it helped me a lot. It's so true. I'm like, there's a lot of people there that are probably going through a breakup.
You said in info. You do this amazing list every morning now on your Instagram of things that you're grateful for.
Yeah.
Where did you get that from? The Tony Robbins?
I actually got it from Cheryl Hickey, who is a presenter on ET Canada in Toronto. Okay. So she used to just put up three every day.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't do it for ages, and I saw her post loads about it. And then I was just like, okay, well, I've got to start doing something. Like, you know, when you listen to enough podcasts, you know that, like, I don't know, living in a space of gratefulness has an amazing effect, apparently. And I guess it also is, again, reflections, realizations, and appreciation. So I started doing it. And I try and do it now every morning or at night when I'm going to bed. I've been doing it for, let's say, probably about a month solid, maybe 6 weeks. But I did miss one day, and I was like, ooh, could feel the effects. But it is just a really nice way to kind of like just sit and go, you know, it's always family and friends, like always top. And then just like things like time. Time is so amazing. We're so blessed with time, and that is so incredible. I mean, energy, like to have the energy sometimes to do something. I'll always remember when you first were diagnosed, and we were talking on Instagram, and I was like, I hope you're doing okay and blah, blah, blah. And then you put up this post about Sundays, where it was just like, everyone kind of dreads Sundays, whether you love your job or not. Sunday evening, you're like, oh, I have to go to work tomorrow, you know? But you were like, I can't go to work tomorrow, and I would give everything in the world to just go to work tomorrow and just have a coffee on the way to work and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's so incredible. Like, and that's, I think that's what the grateful thing is about, really, you know, small little things like a little coffee, like that is so huge. And that's so like something that happens every day and so casually. And, but yet if it was gone, you weren't able to do it. That's huge, you know? So I always remember that. And that's, I think, like what comes into the grateful lists. And I mean, I do sit there for a few minutes and I think about it, because I always have some kind of food. I love doing all the lovely mindfulness things and things like that. But I love a good laugh as well. So I'm always like, well, pizza. Like, realistically, I do love pizza. I try to keep the list away from material things, but like, pizza's natural. And it's that
and
material.
I love that, the way it's like family, friends, salt and vinegar crisps,
garlic dip,
energy. But yeah, like you said time today.
Yeah.
And what is it about time, I suppose?
Time is an incredible healer. That's so I've learned, just like everyone says, with time, you'll be okay. And I'm like, really? Because these seconds are passing like seconds on a treadmill. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, every day, it's like I'm on a treadmill forever. You know, the way those seconds, they literally go backwards. And then time, it does. And I also, like, I know it does heal. Like, everything we've all been through, you know, you're not still crying about it and you're not still upset about it. Or maybe you are, but you're less upset. So I think it's a huge blessing in that it's great to have, but also like a great to have every day. Like, that is ridiculously incredible. Like, the way sometimes we wish away time, like, oh, I can't wait for Friday. I can't wait for Friday. And think about how many people in this moment are wishing they could be here till Friday. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's things like that you really have to think about. It's like, I never want to live a life where I'm wishing away time. And trust me, sometimes I do. Like, sometimes, you know, I'm going to London for the day for work. It's going to be a really hectic, crazy, busy day. And I'm like, I just can't wait to be back in this car in Dublin Airport and driving home. And then I'm like, you know, try my best. You can still appreciate that you really don't want to go through the day because it's going to be busy. But think of how many people would give anything for a few more seconds with a family member or a few more seconds there. Like, I'll think of my grandma. My grandma passed away last year, and my grandma, the last thing she wanted to do was go. Like, and I love that. I was like, she was literally lying on her bed. She was so sick, but she would still, the nurse told her to keep moving her feet just to get like the energy, not the energy, the blood flowing in her legs. Like, she was basically not even awake and she was still moving her legs. And I was like, that's incredible. Like, take that, like, that's something I'll always take with me. Like, some people would give anything for time. Like, so don't wish it away. It's very precious.
And Cassie, you're amazing. Thank you so much.
No problem.
I've wanted to sit down with you for so long on this podcast. I wanted to hear your story. I wanted to spend time with you.
Yeah, this is lovely. I'm so thrilled you asked me.
Thank you so much.
I'm sorry for my coldy head, my coldy nose and my voice. It's like,
Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Go Glow podcast, made possible by Sally Hansen. To discover more, you can shop the products in Macaulay Health and Beauty Pharmacies and other stores across the country now. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe so you can be the first to hear about new ones. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please leave a review. To all my listeners in Ireland and those of you around the world, thank you for the amazing support and continued feedback. You can find out more about my story on thegoodglow.ie and follow me on Instagram at georgie.crawford.